peace of Christ be with you. Would you stand and please share that sign of peace with those around you by hugging or giving a kiss or a tap in the back, or show the love of Christ to those around you. Blessings, brother. Amen. All right, that's enough peace. That's enough peace. Hey, let them know, hey, I'll catch up with you later. All right? I'll catch up with you later. Important week in the life of the church. It is Holy Week. Now, listen. I do sincerely appreciate the significance of this week. I do. But every week should be Holy Week, right? I mean, because Jesus Christ is risen in our lives, and we are to walk in that, in the power of that resurrection, not just once a year. Now, it's nice to set a week aside, and the whole church universal, which is to me is probably more significant than anything else, where the whole body of believers worldwide make a timeout and says, let's listen, something that happened 2,000 years ago and is still creating that type of world reverence, to me is outstanding. So let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand for his church. Last year, when I was still the minister at the Vine, I had a dear sister who we affectionately call Mom. Now, my mom is in Cleveland, of course, but and I don't call her Grandma because she's not old enough to be called Grandma. She's Mom. I'm gonna ask Mildred to come up here. She did this beautiful rendition of the Lord's Supper, last year she came and she brought it and we displayed it, and I thought, Mildred, how significant it was to have the scene, and it's hard to probably see. I mean, you're going to have to probably like get up and you can see it, right? Yeah. Probably the farther you are back, I mean, I'm very close to it. You want to hold it up real quick? All right, let's move the lilies. All right, here we are. Look how beautiful that is. Now, It took Mildred from October to about March last year to do this, and she even took. Did she take a break in between?
At Christmas time.
Now listen, you know why she took a break? You would think she was tired. No, she. What were you doing for children?
Ponchos.
She was doing ponchos for kids. So she took a break in order to serve. How great is this? How great is it, huh? Let's give Mildred a hand. And let's put it back here. Thank you, Mildred, for allowing us to display it this morning. She called me last night. She called me last night. She said, Pastor, I wanna display because of the significance. Give me a hug, Mildred. Thank you so much. Now, very significant. I stand in between probably one of the most recognizable signs of Christianity, right? The supper scene, and the chi in the row, which is another very significant emblem or sign in the Christian faith. So praise God. What a great week. What a great week. Amen. All right, so we started talking about changing, right? Changing your life. And we began 3 weeks ago saying that we have to change our minds, our thoughts. That is where the battle at times begins, and most often where it ends, right between your ears. And then last week, Pastor Gary spoke about the importance and the significance of what? The spoken words. You know, that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will also do the same. Can also do the same. Today, we're going to talk about attitude. Do you like the picture up there? Yeah. Judy did that. I thought that was very, very, very good. I love it. Because that's usually the story of our lives, right? Now, how important is attitude? Now, don't give me a bad attitude this morning, okay? How important is attitude? Very important. What's that? Right? Your attitude determines your altitude. Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I want to read it in several translations. It reads this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is in the New King James Version. Now listen to this one. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. How about this one? In the Message. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. How powerful of a translation is that? Wow. Can you imagine if we even 50% of the time thought of ourselves as Christ Jesus thought of himself? There would be nothing that the church couldn't do. I got two amens, and I appreciate those. I got one back there. Can I hear another? Can I get another amen? Can I get another amen? Do we have another one? Do we have another one? Do we have another amen? Right? Can you imagine that Jesus took 12 disciples who were gung-ho, sold out, who thought of themselves as Christ. Of course, they didn't start that way, but eventually thought of themselves the same way that Christ thought, and they changed the world. Incredible. How about this one? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, that is pretty powerful. Not only am I to think of myself as Christ thought of himself, my attitude ought to be like Christ Jesus himself. And how about this one? Your attitude should be the same. Is that the same thing? Oh, no, no. Should be the same that Christ Jesus had. A good attitude is one of the most important assets that we can ever have. Okay? It's one of the most, I cannot stress that enough. You've met people with great attitudes, haven't you? I've met them. Everything about them just beams. Now, listen, you can have different types of personality. I'm not talking about, the differences in personality. And I'm not saying that people who are bubbly and outgoing have a great attitude and people who are reserved and quiet do not. I've met people who are outgoing and bubbly who have a terrible, terrible attitude, and people who are quiet and reserved have amazing attitude. Mildred is a great example of that. She's not a very outspoken type of person, but her attitude shines like a spotlight. Okay? Attitude, I love what was said back there. The attitude will determine your altitude. I love that. It's true. Listen, if you have a good attitude, your relationships are going to be fuller. That's probably the first line there. Your relationships are going to be fuller. They're going to be more harmonious, more beneficial. When you have a great attitude and you have a good outlook and you get along with people, your relationships are going to be better. Your relationship to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, to your fellow Christians, to your church, to your country. Have you met people who have a bad attitude about everything? And they can't get along with anybody. They have a bad attitude against their spouse and their children and their coworkers and their country. And you go down the list and they're just terrible people to be around. You've met them. They're not here though, right? I mean, no. I haven't met anybody with a bad attitude here. Not yet. Okay? Let's keep it that way, all right? The better your attitude, the easier that you will resolve conflicts. Right? Because people with a bad attitude have that, you know, that type of a combative nature to them that I have to be right. You can't. And so, no, we can't resolve anything. Listen, oftentimes the best way to resolve conflicts is to back away. Let down the guard. Embrace that other individual. Okay, so that's number one. It will create that your relationships are fuller. Listen, a good attitude means that your health will be better. If you walk around being all sour and bitter, it'll destroy everything in you. There's a lot of research out there going on that the negative emotions brings all kinds of detrimental health issues to people, right? People with a bad attitude and you know, they have hypertension and all this other stuff start exploding in their bodies. Have you ever noticed that when you go through something stressful, I mean, your stomach doesn't sit well and you get headaches and you get all groggy, right? And the people who do not have good attitudes walk around like they should be in the hospital. I've even seen that in myself. When I don't have a good attitude, you know, I just, my whole system is just, I have to go to the gym, you know. I tell Carmen that, you know, 2 days after, if not going to the gym and I start getting all like, I'm frustrated and, you know, I have to go and run. Right? Hit something, right? Lift some weights, you know, make my body just, and then, you know, you leave and you're all nicely de-stressed and now, right, you can't move, right, because you're like so stiff and you're walking around like a mummy, but at least internally, you're fine. You're fine. Your heart is right. So listen, I'm not saying that every health can, you know, because I think I have a pretty good attitude and I'm battling this, whatever that this is, but chances are that if we have a good attitude, our health is going to be better. How about this one? If you have a good attitude, you will make more money. And people right now are saying, sign me up, right? Sign me up. One of the worst things that we, you know, the culture shock when we moved from Michigan to South Florida, you know, the great thing was that there was sun and warmth and all of that. But the minute that we went to like a fast food place for the first time, we noticed we were in a different place because there was absolutely no customer service. I had some teenage girl, you know, chewing her. Yeah. Can I get a number three? And, you know, start taking the other. Oh, no, I changed my mind. You know, rolled her eyes. What do you mean you changed her mind? I spent a lot of time punching number three, and now you changed your mind? And then I thought, okay, that's fine. It's just a young teenage girl, right? And she needs to learn. And then I went a second time to another place, and of course, there was nobody in the front counter to take my order. There was somebody in the back, and it was the manager of the place, and he was on his cell phone. And he came from behind the, you know, whatever he was doing. There was nobody in the front counter. And he came out and he looked at me and he gave me the one finger, like, wait 1 second. I thought for sure he was talking to the president of the company. I mean, listen, your attitude will determine how much money you make. If you have a bad attitude about it, you're not going to get hired anywhere. If you're in a working situation and you have a bad attitude, you're not going to get promoted. If you are in business for yourself and you have a bad attitude, you will starve. You will not get any customers. You'll probably get customers once, but you won't get repeat customers, which is the whole foundation of building your own business. But nobody here has a bad attitude, so, you know, this whole financial situation will get better. Just have a good attitude. Just have a good attitude. Okay, here we go. Moving on. Having a good attitude will feel happier. No, hold on, I skipped one. You will make better decisions. You will make better decisions if you have a good attitude. Studies show that people are more creative and better able to reason when they're in a good mood. Isn't that the truth? I mean, when you're in a bad mood, are you thinking straight? No. I'm sorry, you're not. Right? You let your emotions dictate what, and you know, what you're thinking and how you're feeling and what you want and what you don't want, and you're a mess, right? And so a better attitude will clear your mind. You'll be able to think things through. You'll be able to be more creative. You're more optimistic by nature. You'll be able to see other things that you will not be able to see if you're in a bad attitude. And finally, if you have a good attitude, you will feel happier more often. I mean, that's common sense, right? If you're walking around like with a sour face and feeling just horrible about yourself and other people, you're not gonna be happy. Have you ever met somebody who's really happy who has a bad attitude? No. It's just like an oxymoron, right? I mean, you either have a good attitude, you're happy. You're never like happy with a bad attitude. Now that I would love to see. I would love to see that. But when you have a good attitude and good disposition, you know, and good outlook, you know, that means you have good relationships. It means that, you know, you're getting along better with other people, and you're more creative. You're happier. Attitude determines everything. And Paul teaches us here, look, we gotta have the same kind of attitude that Jesus had. Attitude is important. And here, if you really wanna know how to change your attitude, which will change all these other aspects in your life, then you have to do one thing and one thing only. Concentrate on your attitude. Gauge your attitude. Look at where the standard that God has placed there for you, and gauge where you fall in the spectrum of attitude. I was reading a quote this morning. In fact, I put it on my Facebook. For those of you who are my friends on Facebook, right this morning, I put that attitudes are contagious. Now the question is, is your attitude worth catching? Is it worth catching? Make it a priority in your life to to look at that. And here's the probably the gist of this whole talk here. If we want to have the attitude that Christ had, if we want to have a godly attitude about our lives and in the context of our everyday walk, if we want to do that, then we have to look and study what the attitude that Christ displayed was. I got another amen, which is good. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your amens. Because attitude makes a difference. It made a difference in the life of Christ. It made a difference in the life of his disciples. And it will make a difference in our lives today. Now, as I study the scriptures and as I study the book of Philippians, I found that there were some attitudes there that are very evident that we can all learn from. Number one, humility. Now, that is a good attitude. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says this, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only his own interest, but also the interest of others. Humility. Christ displayed a great deal of humility. Christ came to serve, not to what? Be served. He came to rescue the world, not to condemn the world. The beautiful thing about the life of Christ is that he humbled himself and became a servant. You cannot have a good attitude in life if you're proudful. Now listen, it's not that you can't have pride in yourself and the talents that God has given you. I mean, I some people have accused me of being, you know, maybe a little cocky at times, it's not that. But at the same time, I cannot say, well, my gifts are bigger than your gifts and better than yours and shine much better than yours. Amen. Hallelujah. In all humbleness. I am so proud that I am so humble. Right? Humility. Humility. That's a probably a very first good step, don't you think, of changing our attitude? Because if you don't have, I mean, listen, if you humble yourself, and you're saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to put others before I put myself. Right there, that makes, I mean, statistically, studies show that the people who are happier in this world are the people who are constantly serving others. Did you know that? It's not money. It's not possessions. It's not what you can and can't do. It's not the travels that you make. And that's the problem with our society, right? We want to feel happy. And so how do we do that? I need to go places. I need to buy things. I need to drink things. I need to see things. I need to experience things. I need to do this, that, and the other, right? Where in actuality, if we were just humble enough to serve others, that would take care of that whole issue. Humility. Second, humbleness. Now you may say, well, wait a minute, isn't that the same thing? Humbleness. Is that the second one? Faithfulness? Oh, my apologies. My thing is wrong. Okay, faithfulness. Listen to what the word says here. Cameron, go to the verse. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Now, have you met people who are constantly arguing and doing things that, you know, they're not, they're always complaining, always arguing. Always complaining, always arguing. Doing everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault or crooked or depraved generation. Come on, listen, wake up. You gotta be faithful in what you do. That's what we learn from the life of Christ. That Christ did not wait for us to have it all figured out and together. when he came to this world and died for us. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is a celebration in which Jesus goes into the city and he is praised by people, by the same people he knew would be screaming and yelling, "Crucify him," just days later. Now, if Jesus would have had a bad attitude about it, think about this. What would you have done? All right, here you are, ready to make a grand entrance into a city, right? And you're feeling good because people are saying, "Oh, wait a minute, they like you. You're very popular." Right? So you're feeling good about yourself. You put your best threats on. You get a cult, you know. In our case, it would be, you know, maybe like, I don't know, Mercedes or something, right? And we get top down. Maybe the stereo pumping a little bit, right? Oh, yeah. But imagine if your cell phone rings, right? And you get a little text saying, "Hey, wait a minute. The same people who are praising you right now, I'm gonna kill you." I don't know about you. But I would have taken that car, right, and spun right around, and I would have done the first U-ey, right, on any of those roads and head back. Well, why should I? Why should I go triumphantly? I mean, why should I do that? But Jesus was faithful. Amen? Jesus was faithful, and he said, "You know what? I know. As I go into the city, and these same individuals who are praising me right now at the top of their lungs and just throwing their garments and waving their palm, these are the same individuals who are going to be shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' I'm not going to be that popular." Faithfulness. That's a tough one, isn't it? I'm not going to kid you. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Let's move on. Karen. How about that one? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. When was the last time you said thank you, but that you really meant it? That you really meant it. I had, you know, some of you probably know that I work for a company that has been in huge flux as of late. 100 people laid off. Our corporate office has been moved to New York State, and only an office remains here. And it's been quite stressful. And this past week, we had a big annual meeting, and in my department, the department I work for, was in charge of the event, and it was stressful, you know, going and putting in the long hours and pulling the hair and making sure that everything was just perfect and right. And of course, everybody was going to be there, the CEO and the COO and the CIO and the CFO, one and two. We're going to have the vice president of HR and the vice president of stores and vice president of this and the chairman of the board. I mean, you name it, everybody was there. And I remember as we were concluding the event, and of course you're thinking, okay, you know, you're always thinking, am I the one next to be on the chopping block? And how one big individual after another big individual came to me and said, "Reggie, great job, thank you." It makes it all, right? Does that change? Did that change my attitude about the whole thing? You better believe it, right? Even when you say it, as the kids would say, Pastor Trevor, don't jinx me, okay? Is that right to say in church? I don't know. Right? Knock on wood. I'm knocking at the door. This is a fun bunch. I love teaching here. You're a fun bunch. I've been in places where I've done stuff like that, and you get the little. I'm sorry for those of you who are just listening to this and not watching it, but I did my religious Pharisaic look. Now, if we were to look at this from a theological perspective, I think Pastor Reggie just did something that was borderline heretical in the church. Thankfulness. When you say thank you and you mean it, you feel really good about it. When you just say thank you and, well, thanks. When you say thank you and you mean it, it changes your whole perspective. When you say thank you to somebody and you mean it and the person really receives it, it changes the whole outlook, their whole perspective. Listen to what Paul said in Thessalonians. He said this. He says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. For this is the Lord's will. Be thankful. Is there another verse there? Do not be anxious about anything. See, there's this whole element of anxiety in our lives when things are not going right. But Paul says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition. With what? That's the key. Now imagine if Paul would have said, look, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with despair. With agony, with lung suffering. He could have interjected any of those words in there, but he didn't. He put in there with what? With thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving. Why thanksgiving? Because when you're going through tough situations and times get rough and you experience the harshness of life and the challenges that we face at times, and you come to the Lord with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, you are actually saying, I thank you, Lord, that you are going to take this impossibility and make it into a possibility. I thank you, Lord, that this trouble that I'm facing right now is nothing but a building block to make me into the person you want me to be in you. I thank you, Lord, that though at times the enemy may come against me and put some incredible challenges in my life, is nothing but a stepping stone into what I'm going to achieve in you. That is the difference. And you tell me if that doesn't change your attitude. Now, imagine if you were praying that and saying, Lord, please, look at this doubly black and look at these people and the Lord, kill them, right? Right? Don't tell me you're going to have a good attitude about that. Did I tell you about the individual who actually made sounds of explosions when he was praying against like nightclubs and stuff? Yeah. Did I tell you that? Yeah. I mean, he was just like, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray against that nightclub in that corner. In the name of Jesus, it blows up right now. Boom! Yeah. Can you imagine if people overheard that and they were going there or coming from there? You want me to blow up, right? Thankfulness makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Next. Oh, man. Are you having fun?
Yes.
What makes a good attitude? How about obedience? Oh, this is a tough one, right? My kids don't get this one, right? What do you mean, Dad, that I'm going to have a better attitude if I obey, right? Obedience. What can you say about obedience? I mean, it's humility and faithfulness all wrapped up into this one thing that we just basically say, you know best. I may not agree with it 100%, but I agree that you know more than what I do in this situation, and your will be done. It's basically what obedience is. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, both, you know, literally and figuratively, and we come to those words where we say, your will be done, we're saying, you know better than I do in this situation. You know the seen and the unseen. You know those things that are there and not there. When you are obedient and you choose to obey, you'll feel better. A society that decides not to obey the laws of the land, it's a society that is heading towards what? Anarchy and destruction. That's why rules are implemented. That's why we have these parameters. That's why we have these guiding lines, guiding posts along the way to show us the way, and we can either choose to obey and go in that direction or choose to go in another direction. I know that in my case, sometimes, you know, I put the GPS on and I think that I know best, I know better than the GPS, and I go against the GPS, and then I end up being frustrated because I didn't go. I didn't follow instructions. Or how about when you've tried to put something together? Have you ever tried to put, like, something together? I remember when the kids were growing up, which probably explains a lot of the... No, I'm just kidding. I would be so happy, right? I want to. This is for my child, and I would, you know, get home and bring the box, and open it, right, and take out the instructions, and put them aside, and then take all the pieces out, right, and then, you know, you start looking at the box, the picture in the box, right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever picked up the box and, you know, it's only a two-dimensional picture, right? I mean, you can't, and you start, like, turning the box to the side to see if you can look at different angles. I remember building something for, I don't know what it was. What was it for Ryan? It was a hoop, right? And there was, like, 15 pieces that were left. And... And of course, any mom would say, "Hey, so is that really safe?" "Sure, honey, it's safe." Right? Things work better when you follow instructions, don't they? And when we obey. We're gonna feel. Look, at the beginning it may not be. Look, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Sometimes it's tough, right? But when you make it a habit of obedience, of obeying, of yielding your will to the will of God, you feel better. And I'm not talking about some religious exercise that you do. I'll give you my philosophy on this, my take on this, and it's taken right out of the words of Jesus. It's funny because at Bible study here today, we got into this whole 10-minute, you know, discussion. It was great discussion on one word, right? And I've never been the splitting hairs type, because sometimes we tend to lose the bigger picture in those little things. And the way I have done it in my life is, look, I've, I'm every day I choose to love God with everything that I have, and then love people as much as I can. That's it. If you look at my Facebook page, again, if you're my friend on Facebook, you'll see that my religious view, I have friends, right, that they say, I am a conservative Christian. And I have others who say, I am a liberal Christian, right? And everything else in between. And I have put in my view on religion for myself is to love God and to love others. That's it. Because chances are, if we're loving God and we're obeying God and we love others, you know, things are going to be much better. Not only are they going to be much better for ourselves, but it's going to be much better for the whole community as a whole. So that's probably one tidbit there. And finally this. We're going to finish with this. How about this one? You'll have a better attitude when you care. When you care. Philippians chapter 4 verse 5 says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Finally, in chapter 4 verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Care. Is what I was saying earlier, that statistically speaking, the people who serve the most are happier. When was the last time that you actually paused in your life and you cared about somebody? In the true, pure sense of the word. I don't see my two younger children here with me, but yesterday, you know, decided to go out. I mean, it wasn't planned. Just go out. And Lindsay wanted a book, and so I took her, and we had lunch together. And we had a great time. That was a caring. I mean, it wasn't much there. It was a $16 lunch. And you know, I didn't even have to pay for the books, which is even, you know, it makes it even better. That was a great trip, I tell you, right? But I showed, I mean, it made me feel really, really good because my life is so complex and going in all sorts of directions 90% of the time. And then after that, I took my son Ryan and we went out for ice cream. Now, I love when I sit down with my older boys and, I mean, no big thing. We just, you know, just talk and catch up and you care. That has allowed me to have a great relationship with my, I tell my kids all, I mean, people come and compliment me. I mean, my kids are not perfect, even though they think they are, all right? Oh, yes. They walk around with swagger, you know? Where did that word come from? I don't know. But you know, that's years of building and caring, right? You know, Lord help Carmen and I, okay? Because, but you know, God has blessed us with a 19-year marriage, and for people that's unheard of for people in my generation. All right, 19 years of marriage, 21 years of being together. You know, we were courting for 2 years, and 2 years before that of being friends. That's a long time. I've lived longer with that woman than I lived at home growing up. You know what I mean? But hopefully through caring, we've been able to build a good thing. Usually when I have problems is when I'm not caring enough. Right? When I'm not caring enough. Listen, if we did this, folks, if we did this, if we were, you know, we walked lives of humility and faithfulness and thankfulness and obedience and caring, our attitude is going to change. And attitude will make all the difference. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. And there may be a few of you, and I know it's, you know, listen, if you want to hear a long sermon from your pastor, have him not feel well, okay? Because usually when I feel okay, I don't preach as long. Here's what I want you to do. As you close your eyes, and I want you to think, I want you to gauge your attitude. I want you to gauge your attitude this morning. Because we are a church called by God, right, to show and tell the love of Christ in our community. That's a tall order. That's a short phrase, but it's a tall order. That we are called by God to be a multicultural church that makes a difference. That's a tall order. And I would suggest to all of us today that if we do not have the right attitude about that, we're not going to see the full fulfillment of that vision. And it has to do with our attitude. Are we loving God with everything that we have, with all of our strength, with all of our obedience, with all of our care? Are we loving God with everything that we are? And then are we loving others as we love ourselves? Are we doing that? And some of you may say this morning, Pastor, I'm struggling with my attitude. Circumstances have pushed me to the point and to the brink where I know I have a bad attitude about life. I have a bad attitude about faith. I have a bad attitude about my job. I have a bad attitude about my family, my relationships. I have a bad attitude this morning. And if you are that person, I want to invite you to come and meet me here, up here. And we're going to hold hands. And we're going to pray that God would just disintegrate those things in your life that are keeping you from achieving that which what God has called you to do. And I'm going to ask Gary and the team to sing something as we pray.